You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, I had a little voice issue yesterday. And, of course, we're making light of it now. Because when we make mistakes on this show, they become promos. All right, so tomorrow, Chris Morales mentioned there, tomorrow's opening day, Dodgers at Colorado. Tomorrow afternoon, Germán Márquez for the Rockies and Clayton Kershaw makes the season opener debut as the Dodgers look to repeat as World Series champions. And this team is absolutely loaded. So I thought today, John, before everything gets started, and that's really important that we register and keep track of our MVP and Cy Young Award candidates, who we think are actually going to win the awards. And so I'm actually going to put this on the Mythical Money page, because I always save that, so that at the end of the season we can look back and say, see, I was right. That's what I will be saying. See, I was right. All right, so here we go. Let's do the American League first. I'm less of an American League guy. American League Cy Young Award winner.
Gerrit Cole, Yankees.
He is the overwhelming favorite to win the Cy Young Award. I am going to try to beat him with Lucas Giolito from the White Sox, who is also, I guess he would be one of the favorites. So I think
and
the White Sox are actually going to have a good year.
Southern California kid, Giolito.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got Giolito and you've got Gerrit Cole. All right, American League MVP.
All right, the safe play here would be to pick Trout, so I'm going to veer away from the safe play and go, this is kind of wishful thinking, I'm going to go Shohei Ohtani.
Wow.
In the hope that he stays healthy and both pitches and hits the Angels into the playoffs. Give me Ohtani.
Wow, that's a bold pick. I am going to go with, and there are some obvious ones, Jake DeGrom is the favorite, Trevor Bauer is the second favorite.
Wait, I thought we were going American League MVP.
Oh, I'm sorry, American League MVP. Sorry, I was screwed up there. American League MVP. Mike Trout's the favorite. Alex Bregman's the second pick. I'm going to go with the third best number on the board, which is Aaron Judge at plus 1,200. Aaron Judge as your American League MVP. I think he's due to light it up and have a monster season. All right, so National League Cy Young Award. National League Cy Young Award.
I think this is the easiest one. It's Jake DeGrom. He's going to be in a better team this year. I think he's won it a couple of times already. But with the Mets being good, he's going to have the one loss record to go along with the ERA. Give me DeGrom.
Give me, and I think this is the year with all the talk about Trevor Bauer, who is definitely one of the Cy Young Award favorites. I think it's Walker Buehler that is going to win the Cy Young Award this year. I think Walker Buehler is just going to have a monster year for the Dodgers. So give me Walker Buehler. And I'm trying not to home it up too much, but I really do believe Walker Buehler is primed to have a big year. And the last one, National League Most Valuable Player.
All right, the safe thing to do would be to pick Juan Soto. He looks like he's the best young hitter in the game. You also could go Fernando Tatis. I'm doing neither. Have you seen, basically, since the NLCS, the World Series, and spring training, no one can get Corey Seager out.
Yeah,
so I am going to home it up and ignore Soto, ignore Tatis. Give me Corey Seager for the win.
That's interesting. I am going to go, and I hesitate to home it up here, but I just think that Mookie is going to have a great year. Mookie,
so you
has
picked two Dodgers for both awards?
Yeah, I'm not homing it up.
That's the definition of homing
it up. No, I'm not. This is not homing it up. Just because I picked Dodgers for both awards?
For everything?
Does that mean I'm homing it up?
Yeah. Yes. Is Dave Roberts manager of the year?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Kenley Jansen, did he still have the
closer of the year? Yeah, he's closer
Rolaids
of the year.
Rolaids relief man of the year
Rolaids relief man. Yes, I think he will. By the way, I've said, and you laugh at me, you scoff at me, you scoff when I say Kenley Jansen is going to have 35 saves this year.
I think someone else will be the closer by July 4th.
You're ridiculous. You're ridiculous.
Okay. He was right. Put that in your permanent book.
I'm putting it in the permanent book, John. The permanent book. Yes, we're keeping track now. We're keeping score. By the way, hey, Mookie is the favorite to win MVP this year. Juan Soto is the second favorite. Then Tatis, then Bellinger, then Ronald Acuna.
Bellinger ahead Jr. of Seager.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Seager is 7 down the board.
Okay.
So there you have that. All right. I wanted to get this story in because this is a really sad story. You know, this is the first time that a rescue dog has lived in the White House. And his name is Major. And Major had another biting incident on Monday. He bit a Secret Service guy. Here it is. Biden's dog Major has been involved in another biting incident that required medical attention. The incident, which involved a National Park Service employee, took place at the White House South Lawn on Monday afternoon. The employee was working at the time and needed to stop in order to receive treatment from the White House medical unit. On top of that, Champ took a dump in the Oval Office. Now, what do you do with these two dogs?
Do the same thing I do with my dog. You put up with it. That's what you do when you get a dog. They're not perfect. Dogs are going to do stuff like this. You're going to punish a dog for being a dog?
Well, but don't you think the dogs need to be better? I mean, look, I love the dogs. I love the fact that Major is a rescue dog, and
yeah, bring
you know,
in,
I have rescue
you know,
dogs.
Every city has some guy who claims to be a dog whisperer. Bring in one of these dog whisperers to train Major, and it would teach people that your dogs can be trained. I don't want to see him get rid of these dogs. Screw
you know what
that.
He need? They need Lindsay. You have a strong feeling about this, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would be pretty upset if there's people advocating to, oh, he bit somebody, you got to get rid of him or put him to sleep, which is ridiculous.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, no.
He's a rescue dog. They don't even know like his past before they adopted him. And not only that, the bite didn't necessarily require medical attention. I think that's a stretch. They said it was a small nip and that they called the White House medical staff to check it out just as a precaution.
And then what about the defecation?
The dogs
office.
Have accidents all the time. No big deal.
Yeah. I look, I'm rooting for the dogs. I'm rooting for Champ and Major. They're like regular person dogs. It's not like fancy breeds at the White House now. It's like regular old fashioned mutts. Major's a German Shepherd mix. Good for him. Good for him.
Let me, as Michael would say, axe you guys. Something.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
If UCLA beats Gonzaga on Saturday.
Sweet.
Would that be a top five college upset of all time? Would that be in the conversation with Duke beating UNLV, Mace, the game you were at, or Notre Dame ending UCLA's 88-game winning streak? Gonzaga is undefeated in the tournament. They're the first. They're trying to become the first team to run the table since Indiana in 1976. Yeah. They've won 24 straight games by double digits.
But, you know, like I keep telling you, Ireland, I respect all these players, and I know that some of these guys, a lot of these guys are going to be in the NBA, but I don't see a Grant Hill, Christian Laettner, or a Larry Johnson on these teams. So
Suggs.
When they
– Suggs, the kid for Gonzaga.
You think he's
going to
be Larry Johnson and those guys?
No, I think he's got a chance.
He's going to be a pro. I am not saying – Juzang's going to be a pro, and all these guys are going to get drafted.
Yeah,
but
I don't see
any superstars
–
in college basketball anymore like they used to be 20, 30 years ago. So UCLA wins.
I think
Suggs, UCLA is a 14-point underdog.
But they're scrappy. They play hard. So, sure, I can see them. If they keep it close, they can win. They just can't fall down by like USC did yesterday, 19-4.
Oh, my God.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they just got steamrolled.
Yeah. They can't let that happen to start the game.
Hey, Michael, the best women's basketball player I've ever seen is Diana Taurasi.
No. Well, okay, she's one of them. But what about you? How dare you? Where are you right now, Southern California, right? How dare you forget? Well, you might be too young, though. Maybe that's why you're saying that. You remember a woman named Cheryl Miller?
Yeah, Cheryl Miller.
I was at school and Cheryl was in
the She's the best I've ever seen.
I would argue that Lisa Leslie's comparable to Cheryl.
No, she's not as athletic as Cheryl was.
But here's my question.
Cheryl played like a guy.
I think now almost all these girls play like guys. Like these girls could play pickup games with guys and do fine. But here's my question about Taurasi. Mm-hmm.
She's good though. She's one of the. She's on what Mason loves, Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Oh, she's on the Mount Rushmore Michael of is women's basketball players.
Today, yeah. Paige Buchers at UConn got named the Women's College Basketball Player of the Year as a freshman.
Right.
Does she have a chance to be better than Taurasi?
I don't think so. She's going to be good. She's going to make the Hall of Fame someday. I'm making that prediction right now because her skills are Steph Curry-ish. She's so smooth with the ball. Her shot, to me, she's the best shooter in college basketball now, Lindsay, pound for pound, boy or girl. She's that good. Is she going to be better than Diana? I don't think so, but she's going to be a great player for years to come. And she is the most fun player to watch in college basketball right now. She is
nice.
She's hilarious. She's great.
I love women's basketball.
Oh,
I'm a huge fan of women's basketball,
no,
but I only have so much headspace.
Oh, come on.
Don't you have a limited amount of headspace,
no,
Michael?
Because
you couldn't follow baseball. You don't have room in your head for baseball.
No, I watch the big games. I'll watch the big games, the big matchups, and this
he
is the
does
big
if
matchups.
Trace is on a team.
Yeah, of course, and I'll watch. I was checking during the season. I watch to see what teams are doing, Mace. But you know, you're such a misogynist. You and Ireland.
That is a ridiculous statement. I am not a misogynist.
He's not a misogynist. He's right. There's just not as much interest in women's basketball.
There you go. Why not? These have been great games. Just because they're women?
I'm sure they're great.
It's just,
but you guys don't even care.
I saw the foul at the end of the UConn-Baylor game.
But were you watching the last 10 minutes of the game?
No.
There you go.
I just told you I don't have enough headspace to follow women's basketball on top of everything else.
There's a little bit of a disadvantage the women are at this year is because in a normal year, the women would play on the nights the men don't.
Right.
But because of COVID, they're all playing on the same nights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. That's the reason I'm not watching.
But like Stanford yesterday against Louisville, I thought Stanford was going to lose that game.
No, I was on the edge of my seat, Michael.
Were you watching?
Yes.
Come on, man. You'll watch Serena play tennis, but you won't watch the girls play basketball. What's the difference?
I don't have headspace for tennis either.
You don't? You don't watch
Serena
play?
No, I don't sit down and watch tennis. I don't sit down and watch golf. I don't have headspace for that kind of stuff.
So you're saying you don't have headspace for women's sports?
No, I'm a football, baseball, basketball guy.
Well, women play basketball.
Yeah. But I mean, Michael, you know, you got to know a bunch of stuff to do this job. And you got to know a bunch of stuff that people care about.
But you have like every day off. You don't do stuff a lot of times. You got all day to do stuff.
All right, Michael. I support women's basketball and women's athletics and Title IX completely.
I know you do, Mace. I'm just giving you a hard time. But yeah, this Paige Beckers, I call her Paige Buckets. She is special.
All right, so tonight, Andre Drummond, the guy we were waiting for, the guy we've been excited about, the guy who we got on the buyout market at a time when we needed him most, will make his debut for the Los Angeles Lakers versus Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. We will get into that coming up next for you. Meanwhile, Ireland versus Travis Ford, the rematch. The last time ended in a tie. It's a kickoff to Masters Week. The Masters is next week. It's an event like any other. What does Nance say? It's an event. It's a time.
Tradition unlike any other.
A tradition unlike other. Thank you. And this Saturday at Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda, Ireland versus Travis Rogers, the rematch will take place. It's starting at 9 a.m. You can watch hole-by-hole coverage on our at ESPN Los Angeles social accounts. The event is not open to the public, so do not show up. Thank you to our partners, Coors Light, Roger Dunn Golf Shops, and Black Gold Golf Club. Again, that's coming up on Saturday. I will be watching that on Periscope. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Got some Lakers basketball coming up for you tonight right here on 710 ESPN. John, is this a 7 or a 7:30 tonight?
7.
I like the 7s way better than the 7:30s. Why are we doing 7:30s?
I like the 6:30s.
Oh, 6:30, even better, Michael.
No, the NBA, the finals start at 6 p.m. out here in the West. Why can't we start all the games at 6?
Yeah, I think it's because, isn't it because they stack games?
Traffic.
Tonight's game is tonight's game on ESPN also?
ESPN, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so Andre Drummond had his first practice yesterday with the Lakers. Here's what he said afterwards.
Great first practice to me. Being out on the floor again after a month and some change was an incredible feeling for me to be out there. The guys welcomed me with open arms, you know, showed me the ropes and, you know, what it's like to be a part of Lakers basketball. I'm excited for tomorrow's game. That's really it. I'm hyped.
Here he is on being the next great Lakers center.
Man, it's an honor. It's an honor to be, you know, in this facility, be able to, you know, step onto that court where these legends have played and built, you know, such an incredible legacy here in L.A. So, you know, it's a lot of excitement for me to be here.
Laker fans are going to be who don't know much about Drummond because, you know, he's in Detroit. And then Cleveland before that.
And then Cleveland,
they're going to be amazed at how mobile he is for a guy his size. He is amazing. He's a physical specimen.
He is the best rebounder. This isn't hyperbole. He's the best rebounder in the game.
Oh, yeah, especially offensive rebounds. I mean, he's one of the best. Him and Moses Malone are two best offensive rebounders I've ever seen.
And by the way, Jorge sent me something. Jorge, I don't know if you have this anymore, but you texted me. The actual numbers, it shows that Andre Drummond is the best rebounder in a decade in the league.
Yeah, since Dennis Rodman. Yeah, I agree.
According to Spectrum, he's the best rebounder of the last decade.
Yeah, he really has a knack for getting his hands on rebounds, man. He really does. It's amazing.
What impact can he have immediately? Because obviously tonight is a really tough matchup. Milwaukee, yep. Really, really good. They've got two bigs. You know, they got Giannis and they got Brooke Lopez. You know, what impact do you think Drummond can have tonight?
Oh,
is
everything.
This a game that is winnable?
Of course. Now that he's out there and he can take right up where he left off. He's big. He takes some space in the paint. He protects the rim. Excellent shot blocker. He gets like a second chance points. And he swallows up defensive rebounds. He can run the floor. He can give the Lakers 17 and 15 tonight. He's that good.
It may not be enough tonight. We'll see. Milwaukee's lost three in a row, Michael, but so they're vulnerable. But Giannis is having, you know, he's the two-time defending MVP. He's having a big year, and I think they're actually a little better with Drew Holiday. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, man. They definitely are better with Drew Holiday. He's a stud winner, you know, not a champion, of course, like Stephen A. would say, but he knows how to win, knows how to play the game smart. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough, tough game for the Lakers to win tonight. But they can do it as long as they play that defense we saw them play against the Cavaliers the other night.
Right, and if you look at their next 10, because it gets tough, if you look at their next 10, you're talking about a really rough road.
10-0, says Ireland.
Yep.
Ireland, you're 10-0 again, right?
Well, they're 2-1 since I said it.
That's
Michael,
right.
Michael said they – Mace, you said they'd go 3-7 or 2-8?
3-7.
All right, so they got one more win. And, Michael, I think you said 4-6.
I said 4-6. This was before they got Drummond, so I'm going to go 5-5 now.
Right, 5-5. So home Milwaukee at Sacramento. To me, that's the other win.
Yeah.
Then they go at Clippers, at Toronto, which is really Florida, at Miami, at Brooklyn.
Those would be tough.
At the Knicks.
That's
much improved. Then at Charlotte, you get a little break there.
Yeah.
Home Boston and back to back with Utah. That is a really rough stretch.
It's a brutal.
Seven of the next 11 on the road. Seven of the next games are against teams 500 or better.
Seven of the next 11. So 11 games, Ireland. That's 10-1. You think?
10-1.
Are you giving them a loss?
Well, they already got the loss.
Oh, that was the loss.
Yeah, they lost one. Yeah.
So undefeated from here.
Of course.
Undefeated Ireland.
Come on. We're not showing up to lose.
I like that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I'm excited to see Drummond on the floor. You know, that's a guy that, you know, I said from the beginning of the year, I thought they're missing that element that they had last year.
What are they going to do about Gasol? I mean, they're talking about he's just going to sit on the bench now?
No. I think that he'll probably play. I think Drummond will play, you said, probably between 25 and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That leaves 20 minutes for Gasol.
Well, you forget about Harrell?
No, Harrell and Gasol play together.
No, they don't.
Sometimes.
No, never.
What are you Harrell talking
always,
about?
Harrell always comes in for Gasol.
Wait a minute. So you don't think Harrell and Drummond are going to play it all together?
No.
I disagree.
Harrell and Drummond will not play together?
Nope.
I think they might. Now, what Michael's talking about is that they're both in the low post.
Yeah,
right, right.
But here's the thing, Michael. I think AD and Drummond are going to play together, especially at the start of games. So you might as well play around with it.
Well, you always talk about a different animal with AD, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Jeez. Hang on a second. I want to play this Frank Vogel on how Marc Gasol took the news that he's not starting anymore.
Yeah, Mark's had a difficult run with the health and safety protocols and some other things. And, all I can say is he's loved here. Like, these guys respect him so much. And he's been a true pro, in handling this. And, we're like I said, we're going to need all three of our centers throughout this this playoff push, this championship run, hopefully. And, he's a true pro.
If I was in this situation as Marc Gasol, if I was going to be the third center, you want to play. He's a competitor.
Sure.
But I would accept the role for another ring.
Of course, you're going to accept the role. What's your choice?
Yeah, well, of course. But you could always ask for a buyout and go somewhere else.
Yeah, but Michael, when you played on the Laker team that played the Bulls in the finals, were kind of in that role.
Yeah,
right?
I was in that role. I was the third center, and I knew I wasn't going to play, but I was happy to be there thinking I was going to get my third ring with the Lakers, and I'd been just as proud as that ring as I was for the other ones.
So just to be clear, you do not believe Drummond and Harrell will be on the floor at the same time at any point tonight?
No, because Harrell prefers to play center, and if he's on the floor with Drummond, he can't play his normal position where he does all that damage around the basket.
Ireland, do you agree with that?
I don't know. I'm going to wait and see. I think that because I think when everybody's healthy, I think Anthony Davis and Andre Drummond are both going to start.
Right.
So that means when you bring Harrell in, Michael, you can't have one of those guys out there?
Yeah, you take Drummond out and bring Harrell in. That's what you do. But the Lakers will have the best starting front court in basketball.
Hey, Michael, completely changing the subject. Did you get your vaccine?
Yeah, I got it on Monday.
Nice.
It was like Mason said, it was just a little prick.
Yep.
And didn't feel a thing. And my arm's a little bit sore when you lay on the side when you're sleeping, but there's no pain. There's anything like that. So it's fine. It's a piece of cake.
Shot number one?
Shot number one. Number two will be April 26th, and I encourage everybody there to go out there and get it. And there was people in there, tall, big, fat, black, white, young, old. Everybody was in there.
Oh, good. What type of place did you get it?
I went to the CVS drugstore, and it took me 30 minutes and, 15 minutes in line, 15 minutes to wait to see if I was going to have some kind of side effect. And I started hallucinating, thinking I was as good looking as Rick Fox.
Oh, that's a good side effect.
Michael,
the restrictions on me get lifted tomorrow, but I tried to sign up today for an appointment tomorrow, and they won't give me one.
Why?
They can't sign up until the restrictions are lifted.
Oh.
Yeah, April 1, it's for everybody over 50, and April 15, it's just for everybody.
They say to sign up because it's always packed. Say, do it late at night. Sign up late at night, like midnight, because you'll be up anyway, Ireland.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, you're always up. Do it at 2 o'clock
in the morning.
The Lakers.
Or be like Mace, just walk in and go, I'm Steve Mason.
That's not how I got it, but okay.
Don't you know who I am?
I wish my calling card was that good.
Did you push some old lady out of the way, Mace?
I did not.
George Costanza running out of there.
You know how weird it was? They actually made an announcement in the store. They basically came on and said, Rite Aid shoppers, we have additional vaccines that are left over from today. And a bunch of people got them. They had 8 extras when I was in there.
And then when you did it, did they schedule a second one for you right there?
Scheduled it right away.
Wow.
And I got my second one on Saturday, and I had virtually no side effects.
Yeah, because some people don't think I had side effects. Some people have gotten the second one, say they feel sick the next day. I guess it all depends on your biological makeup.
Did you have pain in your arm the second shot?
Oh, yeah. No, there's definitely pain. The pain is starting to go away from the arm. I don't understand why this one's more painful than like a flu shot would be. Hmm. What makes this one more painful?
I don't know. Maybe it's probably just involves stuff that you've never had before.
Yeah, I mean, I get a flu shot every year, and
but
I never
probably,
my arm
probably
never gets
had that
sore.
Stuff before. So
you're now living your best life, and you're just running around, right?
Two weeks waiting period, and then I'm living my best life. Leaving for Mexico.
Mm-hmm. You still wear a mask though, and everything, right?
Yeah, of course. I think everybody's going to wear a mask for a while here. But you know what's happening at the end of the summer, Michael?
What's that?
And I expect to see you there.
Oh, the Mason party?
The Mason Labor Day party.
Oh, yeah. What time is it?
You know what? I would like to announce that I will be there if Michael is there.
Really?
It's your loss. It's just a bunch of booze and hijinks.
Are you going to invite Jim Hill again?
I've never invited Jim Hill.
What?
I've never invited Jim Hill.
He would come in a suit.
I know he would.
That's right.
He would, and he'd be asking questions of everybody.
He'd be the first one there.
That's right.
He'd be the first one there, and he'd be the first one to ask questions.
He would get the first drink.
You got to ask Jim Hill, man. If Jim Hill shows up, I just might come.
I'll get Jim Hill there. If I get Jim Hill there, you're there.
All right. And don't forget Michael Roth.
Oh, Michael Roth.
Well, he comes all the time.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. He's a regular.
Yeah, because he loves you guys, the show, he told me.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, I want to circle back to this Russell Westbrook thing, which is fascinating. We did this a little bit. And the KD thing also, I think, is really interesting. So Russell Westbrook on championships and what they mean to him, and KD on a tear on DMs with Michael Rapoport. That's coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We'll not be doing two shows.
We've done that before.
Soon.
When we would fill in the mornings and then come back and do our show in the afternoon.
That was
fun,
rough,
to be honest.
Rough gig. I feel for George, especially. He's got to deal with LZ and Cap. All right. In celebration of opening day, we are giving away a Mookie Betts bobblehead courtesy of Foco USA. Now, here's the deal. This bobblehead, I think, is incredibly cool. It's Mookie with the holding the American flag after the World Series. And here's how you win. Jump on the phones, 877-710-ESPN. We'll do a stupid little game. We will make it ungoogleable. I think I've got an ungoogleable game, or at least a very tough-to-Google game. So put your phone down. And I guess don't put your phone down.
You might need that.
But don't Google. And visit Foco.com, your one-stop shop for all of your team's merchandise. So Russell Westbrook said something really interesting last night after the game. Now, we should set this up and say Westbrook went off for 35 points, 20 assists, 14 rebounds, I think, the other night. And the next day, Stephen A. Smith basically said, I'm paraphrasing, who cares? You got to win a championship.
Yeah, he said, meh.
Nah. Here's what Russell Westbrook said last night responding to Stephen A.
A championship don't change my life. I'm happy. I was a champion once I made it to the NBA. Like, I grew up in the streets. I'm a champion. Like, nobody can. I don't have to be an NBA champion. I know many people that got NBA champions that's miserable. Have they done nothing for their community? Have done nothing for the people in our world? And for me, man, my legacy, like I mentioned before, is not based on what I do on this court. I'm not gonna play basketball my whole life. My legacy is what I do off the floor. How many people I'm able to impact and inspire along my journey, man. And that's how I keep my head down and keep it pushing, because it's very important that you don't let the negativity seep in, because it's been like that my whole career. Honestly, there's no other player that kind of takes the heat that I take constantly. But I take it as positive, because obviously I'm doing something right if people are talking about me.
So he obviously is talking about something a little bit different than what Stephen A. was talking about. He's talking about sort of winning the life championship as opposed to winning the NBA championship. I want to play, it's a little long, but here's Stephen A.'s response to Westbrook from today's First Take.
You're so great, we want to see more. When it matters. And me saying that is not an indictment against your character. And it doesn't require a soliloquy about generational wealth and a lesson about how all of these commentators go on the TV screens and they critique these players and they alter their lives. Let me give Russell Westbrook and all the players and all the athletes out there an education. When you talk about champions, I'm from the streets too. And I couldn't shine your shoes as a player. But I've been successful as a writer, as a radio host, as a television personality. I'm doing just fine. Imagine if I came on television, especially after I got my contract. My ratings don't matter. Revenue doesn't matter. It's not important. What's important is that I'm making this money. And you know what? I get to take care of my family and create wealth and contribute to our community. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What does that have to do with you having a successful television show that we're paying you to have? You have to produce for us first. And the reality of the situation is, as people who chronicle the sport, we look at it and say, okay, since we're chronicling it, we have to talk about those who are successful and why, and those who are not. And the fact of the matter is, Russell Westbrook is sensational. But in the end, his three-point shooting and lack of a perimeter shooting game, I believe, has served as an impediment to him capturing a championship. I and so many others believe he richly deserves and desperately want for him.
So Stephen A. makes an interesting point there. He's basically saying, you're great. We want to see more of you. We want to see more of you when it counts. And I essentially am just doing my own job, and I am concerned with ratings and revenue, and just because I signed my big contract doesn't mean I don't care about winning, let's say, ratings and revenue, a championship, right? Stephen A. is trying to win a championship on television. Russell Westbrook should be trying to win a championship in terms of basketball. But I think Russ's point is that he is a champion in life, right? I mean, he's done so much for his community. He's given so much back. He plays harder than anybody in the league.
But that's not what Stephen A. criticized him for. He was talking about his Russell Westbrook, the basketball player, and Russ responded with all the stuff he does off the court. So, I'm Russ's biggest fan. I've said a million times he's my favorite player in the league to watch. But in this case, I think he's comparing apples to oranges. Nobody ever said Russ wasn't a great guy off the court who does the most with his brand and maximizes his opportunities. But you're talking about Russ, the basketball player, and it's just a fact that he hasn't won anything.
And maybe he's one of these legends, Mace, that can accept not winning a title. You know, Kobe would have never settled for that. Jordan, Magic, those kind of guys had to have won a title or titles to get career satisfaction. Maybe Russell doesn't need it, and he figures, hey, I'm good with what I've accomplished in the league. He'll be a Hall of Famer, and that's good enough for him. Maybe that's, some guys are different. Like, maybe he's one of those guys who don't need a ring to validate his career like some of these other guys felt they
needed. Well, validate his career, but validate his life. I think they're talking about two different things, right?
Yes, of course.
They're talking about two different things. But, I mean, if you look at – I think that there is way too much emphasis, and I'm going to be the outlier here, on you're nobody if you don't win a championship.
No, nobody says that. I mean, Patrick Ewing is not nobody, or Malone and Stockton or Barkley. They are somebody, Mace. They're special. They're legends. But there's different levels to the legends. You understand that, Mace. You know that.
Sure, I do. I do. But, like, for example, let me go to baseball. Where do you rank Ted Williams in terms of the history of baseball?
He's one of the greatest players.
Last guy to bat 400?
Yeah, he probably, arguably, people say he's the greatest hitter ever. A lot of people say that. But
never won a World Series.
Exactly. But that doesn't diminish how great he was.
Correct. It seems to be that basketball is the one where it matters the most.
Baseball, you never hear greatest who never. Yeah, NFL does too. I mean, we talk about Marino.
If Dan Marino would have won a championship, he would be in the conversation with Joe
Rogers.
Montana Rogers. And Tom Brady and Rogers. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. But you never hear Marino in that because he never won.
Yeah. That's what made Joe Namath a legend. Look at Namath's stats.
He's like a bad quarterback.
Right, but because he took the Jets to that championship, that took him to the next level, Mace.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. You understand now, Mace?
Showstopper. Fur coat.
There are differences. Yeah.
So, Mace, here's one that might make you understand it more. Had Clayton Kershaw not won the World Series this year, do you think his career would have been complete?
His career would not have been complete. Again, I'm talking about life versus career.
Well,
that's what Russell Westbrook's talking about. Stephen A's just talking about career.
Yeah.
Yeah, Westbrook is talking about life.
Yeah, nobody's questioning how valuable he is in the community. Nobody's talking about his accomplishments.
Yeah. No, I mean, Kershaw needed to get the monkey off of his back, obviously.
Yeah. Why? You just argued that it doesn't matter.
Right,
because
it was the crowning achievement of an unbelievable career.
Well,
so
that's
why
how it
does,
is.
Why does Clayton Kershaw need it and Russell Westbrook doesn't?
Right.
Well, it's unfair to say Russell Westbrook doesn't want a championship.
No, he doesn't need
it.
In your mind, he doesn't need it.
But he wants to win one.
Well, everybody does, don't they?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everybody wants to win one. What's the defense if you're Russell Westbrook and somebody says, okay, Ireland, you're Russell Westbrook. Russ, you never won a championship. Why?
It's my greatest career as a professional. I won an Olympic gold medal. I went to the Final Four at UCLA. but I never won an NBA title, and I'll always have to live with that. Just like Karl Malone and John Stockton and other Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
There's a long list of us, and if they're being honest, if you put them on Truth Serum, they'll tell you it's their biggest professional regret.
Of course, and it should be. Guys at that level want to win a championship. They strive to be a champion. That's what makes them great. They're not role players. They are the face of a franchise.
So the difference is, like, Michael, we were talking about this earlier, a clear difference between Mason and I would rather have Robert Horry's career than Patrick Ewing's career.
So would I.
Mason would not rather have Patrick Ewing's career.
Yes. So you're all about individual awards on me.
No. Patrick Ewing was an unbelievable player.
Of course.
Unbelievable player.
But Robert Horry was
in the Hall of Fame. Robert Horry is not in the Hall of Fame.
But he should be, because Robert Horry is one of the greatest clutch players this game has ever seen.
Unbelievable situational player,
yes,
without any question.
Right.
But did he impact as many games as Patrick Ewing did?
No, not as many games, but the big games he sure did.
And he had more big game moments than Ewing had.
Yeah, I'd rather have Ewing's career.
Seven championship rings?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
I would.
Mace,
I would.
What's wrong with you?
Patrick Ewing was a dominant force in the league.
Yes, he
was a centerpiece of a franchise. Right. Robert Horry never was that.
In this scenario,
You never built a team about around Robert Horry.
True. That's
right.
True.
But without him, you don't win as many titles.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a difference. I mean, I think impact is impact. You know, I always go with that Steve Jobs, make a dent in the universe quote. And honestly, I think Patrick Ewing dented the universe more than Robert Horry did.
Don't you think hitting championship clutch shots and championship moments is a big
impact? It's unbelievable. Yeah. And by the way, I'll also say this. You guys don't get to see him, but Robert Horry is absolutely hilarious on Spectrum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's good.
He is so friggin' fun.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of stuff on Rachel's show.
Yeah, he is great. He is he's such a goofy guy when he goes on with
Geeter. He's become
a
semi-regular on The Jump.
He's not stealing James Worthy's spotlight, I hope.
No,
they're on there together.
I know.
Yeah, they're on there together. All right, can we do this? Can we do the giveaway before we go to traffic, Jorge? Okay, cool. So we've got the Mookie Betts bobblehead. He's holding the American flag after the Dodgers win the World Series. And this is from Foco.com, your one-stop shop for all your team's merchandise. I'm trying to make this ungoogleable. John, do you have the screen open in front of you?
Yeah, I can get to it.
Okay. The bobblehead's really, really cool. Dodgers, of course, open tomorrow afternoon at Colorado. Germán Márquez for the Rockies versus Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers, making another opening day start. John, do you have the callers?
Zach in Santa Barbara, you're up first. How you doing, Zach?
What's going on, fellas?
All right, Mace, good, man. What's the question?
Okay. How many hits has Mookie Betts had over the past four seasons? Only the past four seasons. Need an answer.
Oh, man.
300. One,
300. 300, okay.
Okay. Next up, Ryan in Long Beach. Hey, Ryan.
Yes, hello.
Ryan,
hey,
how many?
Ryan.
How many hits has Mookie Betts had in the last four seasons?
Last four seasons?
299. How many?
What? 299.
299. Okay. All right, good.
Robert in Redondo. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Excellent, man. How many hits has Mookie Betts had over the past four seasons?
I'm going to say at least 375.
Okay.
375.
Last one is Rich in Seal Beach. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Give me a number. How many hits has Mookie Betts had in the last four seasons?
368.
Ooh, I have a feeling Robert's looking good. How many, Mace?
What was that number?
He said 368. The high number is Robert at 375.
Robert at 375. Clearly, nobody was able to Google that. The number is 586 over the last four seasons, which means Robert is the winner of the Mookie Betts bobblehead. Please hang on the line, Robert, and we'll get your information. Congratulations. Excited for opening day. And if you want to see some cool stuff, go to Foco.com, your one-stop shop for all of your team's merchandise. All right, coming up next for you, Michael Thompson's here, which means he gets to play. We kick off a new month for Game of Games, and it is Lindsay's game today. Mason, Ireland, 710 ES.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN. All right, here we go. It is Game of Games time, and we're starting a new month. Lindsay won last month. Congratulations to her. Lindsay snaps Ireland's 8-month winning streak.
It was seven, but who's counting?
7-month winning streak. The score overall is Ireland 7, Lindsay 3, me nothing, Jorge nothing, Michael Thompson nothing. It's Lindsay's game today. By the way, Game of Games sponsored by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber. They want to be yours too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. All right, Lindsay, what do we got for a game today?
All right, today's game, in honor of March Madness, I'm going to do a little game of celebrities that you never knew were college athletes.
Oh, all
right. So I'm going to give you guys a couple of clues. You can use your name as your buzzer and try and guess the right answer. And if you guys don't figure it out, then I'll just tell you.
Those are so enthusiastic.
Some of them are...
of enthusiasm surrounding that presentation is at an all-time low.
So the answer you're looking for is the name of the school?
No, the name of the person. Yeah.
Okay, name
and
the person.
I'm just a little worried. It might be a little too difficult because I found a couple really good ones, and then the rest of them were a little.
You know what I say in the spirit of Genie Bus? Bring it on.
Bring it on. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I'll start easy and they'll get harder as we go along. Before his A-list movie career, this man was a college football star for the university. John was there first.
It is Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
That is correct.
Damn, I knew that one, too.
Ding.
Ding.
He played at the University of Miami.
Yep.
All right, number two. This man rode crew while he was a student at Georgetown University. He was named People's Sexiest Man Alive. Michael?
George Clooney.
Nope.
Ah! No.
He was named People's Sexiest Man Alive in 2011. He's been nominated for 8 Oscars, including Best Actor in 2019.
Jorge.
Best Actor in 2019.
Jorge, what do you think?
Oh, man. Is it Denzel?
Nope.
Denzel.
It's not Denzel. Nominated for Best Actor
George
in 2019.
Oh, brothers be out there rolling.
Is that?
He said athletes. Oh, sorry.
8 Academy Award nominations. It's got to be somebody for real.
Yes, including Best Actor in 2019, in which he helped a star be born.
John. Jason.
John, I got to give that one to John.
Bradley Cooper.
That is correct.
Yeah. Wow. Mason, you made him. You said old Mason. That makes you slower. You got to just say Mason.
Thank you, Michael.
Michael's got it down.
Thank you, Michael.
You had old Mason in Ireland. We already beat you to it.
Jeez. Ireland 2, nobody else yet to scratch.
Celebrities
Number
in Ireland.
Three.
This is not fair with the celebrities with Ireland.
Oh, come on. They're also athletes, college athletes,
right.
Once upon a time. This late Oscar-nominated star was on the Division I basketball team at Alcorn State from 1983 until 1984. This, of course, was before he walked a green mile.
Michael.
Michael. I have a feeling you don't know the answer.
Mason. Jorge.
Michael, you got 3, 2.
I rang in.
Jorge was next.
No, I was not. I was next.
No.
I say Jorge was next.
This whole thing is a conspiracy.
It was
Michael Clark Duncan.
Correct.
Yeah, I couldn't remember his name. I saw his face.
You were like, a big guy.
That should count.
The big guy.
The big black guy.
All right, number 4. She began her career as a sportscaster interviewing up-and-coming stars. Before interviewing these stars, she was one herself at Southeastern Louisiana University. She played on the basketball team
Mason.
And was in Mace.
I'll take a shot. Robin Roberts.
Correct.
Okay, Mace.
There you go, Mace.
Good job.
Nice.
All right. Nice. Ireland 2. Mason 1.
I buzzed in first.
Jorge 1.
Yeah, give it to
Michael. Jorge.
Everybody says I buzzed in first.
All right. Where are we at? 1, 2, 3, 5. Before heading to Hollywood, this man attended Fordham University in New York. While he was studying there, he also earned a spot on the junior varsity
Ireland.
Basketball team. Okay, what is it, John?
It is Vin Scully.
Nope.
Michael.
Okay.
Michael.
Denzel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Denzel.
I didn't realize he went to Fordham.
Yeah. I knew he played basketball, so I figured it must be him.
Yeah, you just keep guessing them eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually you'll get it right. Yeah. All right. So everybody has one except for Ireland, who has two.
Come on.
Yes.
All right. This famous game show host earned an athletic scholarship in playing basketball for 2 years at Drury University before temporarily leaving school to join the Navy during World War II.
Michael Besden.
Before World War II, huh? I'm going to guess Bob Barker.
Correct.
Good. Oh, what a pull, Michael.
Yeah, because he's got to be old.
Right? Yep, got
to
be old.
Pegged him to be a college scholarship basketball player.
Yeah, good for him. He's a tall guy. Yeah. He's a tall guy.
That's right.
All right. This country star was a member of the track and field team at Oklahoma State, where he was known for his skills in javelin throwing
Ireland.
In the 80s. I got to go Mason on that. He just beat Ireland.
Take a shot, Garth Brooks.
Correct. Good job.
Nice.
Good call,
All right. So two to one.
Come on,
Jorge. Jorge's with the one. All right. This man was a halfback for Florida State University
Ireland.
Before. What is it, John?
Burt Reynolds.
No.
Whoa. No.
I don't think so.
What do you mean you don't think so?
No. It's not.
It's not. Okay.
Okay.
I thought I wrote
the wrong name down.
Yeah,
okay.
Keep going.
Halfback for Florida State University before coming, and actually, nope, John was right.
Yeah. Oh, what is going on?
I knew it had to be Burt Reynolds. I knew that, too.
How the hell did that happen, Lindsay?
Because I have this on a grid, and I wrote the wrong line.
Got it right.
George, what's our out time?
52:30.
Okay.
Our out time, everybody, is 52:30.
So Ireland is leading 3-2, and then Jorge has one.
How many more do you have left?
I have four left.
All right, let's go.
All right, even though this actress found fame at a young age, the Harry Potter star didn't let that stop her from earning
Mason.
A degree. Mace.
It's Emma Roberts.
Correct.
Nice.
She doesn't even know now.
She's got to check the
answer. I just have all my answers off on one.
3-3-3-2.
They're off by one line.
3-3-2-1.
Me and Ireland, very close here.
Yes. Okay, this actor played football at Youngstown State in the 60s. He was a defensive lineman and was either signed by the
Ronald Reagan.
No. Signed by the Pittsburgh Steelers, but was cut during training camp. He was in a very famous show in the He was in a very famous show in the 90s.
Ireland. I think it's the guy that played Ed O'Neill.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, Al Bundy.
Why did you run out of clues? What is going on?
What do you mean running out of clues? That's three clues, just like all the other ones.
All right, we're running out of time. How many you got left?
Two.
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
This royal could once be found competing on the field
Mason.
Hockey field. What is it, Mace?
That would be Prince Harry.
Incorrect. She not only played during her time at boarding school, but tried out a number of times for the team at University of St. Andrews.
Michael. Princess Kate.
That is correct. Kate
Middleton.
Look at Google. Michael told you that one.
Good job.
I know my English history. I grew up in the English system.
It's Mason 3, Ireland 4, Google 3, Jorge 1.
Ireland 4, Michael 3, Mason 2, and Jorge 1.
All right. Jorge, help me out here. You get this, I win.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Before his career as a rapper, he attended Alabama State University on an athletic scholarship for their D1 basketball team.
Mason.
Who is
take
it,
a Mace? Shot. Drake.
Nope. Now he can afford
Canadian.
More than one chain.
John.
Okay.
John?
2 Chainz.
That is correct.
2 Chainz wins the day.
What's his real name, Ireland?
2 Chainz.
I don't even know his real name.
All right, that's it for us. We're back tomorrow. Go Lakers tonight. Lakers versus Giannis. We'll see Andre Drummond for the first time. Coming up next for you is Sedano, LZ, and Cap. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.